My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Congressman and Dr. John Fleming, who represents the Pelican State's 4th Congressional District. We want to get his thoughts today, especially from a medical perspective, on the Protect Life Act, a Republican-sponsored legislation which would forbid federal funding for any insurance plans that include abortion as part of the coverage. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Great. Thanks for having me today, Greg.
Where did you come down on this issue and why?
Well, because, in the discussion of Obamacare, or PPAC as we call it sometimes here on the Hill, you may recall that life protection in terms of at least taxpayer funding of abortions was in the original bill, and by the time it got out of the Senate and came back, that had been removed, which means that, as you know, money is fungible, and if it covers some of the cost of certain things, and certainly under certain circumstances held within the bill, such as a funding of community health centers and things like that, there's really no strict prohibition against those funds going towards the taking of innocent life. And so what we're doing merely with H.R. 358 is going back to put in the Hyde Amendment language that has really been in Congress for a number of years up until Obamacare passed, and also some protections for health care workers so that they can't be sanctioned or fired as a result of being unwilling to participate in abortions.
Congressman, just to go back to the passage of the president's health care bill, the big debate on the day that it passed in the House, of course, was the STUPAC language not being part of the bill, as you mentioned. The president, though, signing an executive order that seemed to satisfy Congressman STUPAC and several of his allies at the time. Explain for our listeners why that wasn't good enough.
Well, as you may recall, it wasn't good enough for Mr. Stupak's constituents because they were very upset with him, which led to his resignation ultimately. It is merely an executive order, and an executive order is no better than the ink upon which it's written, which means that this president or any future president can certainly issue another executive order totally rescinding that, and now we're back in business with taxpayer funding of abortions. And I would also remind you that even in Planned Parenthood, which does tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of abortions, that because they receive federal dollars, which helps pay for the overhead, the lights and so forth, that's an indirect funding of abortions through taxpayer money. And while Americans are split down the middle on whether or not women should be allowed to have abortions, by a margin of 2-1, Americans believe that taxpayers should not be subsidizing or paying for abortions.
Congressman, there is, as you've already established, a very different set of opinions on what the reality is right now, even perhaps separate from the provisions of the president's health care plan. You have those on the left saying, look, the Hyde Amendment is in place. There is no federal funding for abortions. But there have been groups as recently, I think, as this week, suggesting that in reality, Medicaid dollars routinely go for that, whether it's at Planned Parenthood or somewhere else. What do you know for sure on that?
Well, that's exactly true. The difference is that in the case of Planned Parenthood is, or, even funding of community health centers, is the dollars are going for the global cost, and so that is an indirect subsidy. But you see, under Obamacare, without the Hyde Amendment language, it actually goes, dollars go directly to help support within the exchange insurance for in the insurance programs to pay for abortions. Now, if you as a private citizen want to buy a policy that covers that and you're willing to put that in your premium, that's fine. But why should I, who oppose abortions, why should I be paying and help pay through the exchange and through my insurance premiums for an abortion that someone else might want? So that is really the sticking point of all of this. Congresswoman Capps put in some language that made it appear as though the dollars are separated, but we know, again, money is fungible, and as long as it can flow in any way to help offset cost, then in essence it's helping pay for those things. And we say to the other side, look, if you agree with us that there should be those protections, and you say you do, there's even an executive order, why not allow us to put plain language in legislation that codifies it? And for some reason they're unwilling to do that, which I think tells you really where they're coming from on this.
Congressman, if in fact this were to be approved and actually signed into law, do you believe it removes any doubt about this? In other words, does this do what ultimately you and your allies on this bill hope it will do, or does the fungibility issue still present a problem?
Well, it reestablishes the Hyde language, which has, again, been renewed every year since back in the 1970s when the Medicaid and also a military basis paying for abortions was stopped. It would end that for sure, but it would not offset the Planned Parenthood funding. And again, we've tried to stop that as well. And so it would definitely do the main job that needs to be done, and that is to put within Obamacare those Hyde protections. And of course, I'll say to you that what we're looking for is a Republican president who will be willing to sign, as his first act in office in 2013, the full repeal of Obamacare, and that makes all this issue null and void. And then at that time, we'll also look at any repealing any funding for Planned Parenthood that in any way could be used to subsidize abortion services.
We're talking with Louisiana Congressman John Fleming. And Congressman, on the flip side of this argument, you have the former House Speaker, Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi, who said either today or yesterday that this legislation would result in women dying on the floor of their health care providers. How do you respond to her characterization?
Well, that's plain scare tactics. There's no reason, again, there's nothing in any law in this country that prevents a woman from getting abortion if she chooses, at her own cost, at the cost of her own insurance, or any sort of clinic that's willing to do it for free or for a reduced cost. You know, a lot of this is about money. Doctors who perform these abortions make lots of money. They become millionaires. And in fact, I can give you a case years ago where, when I was a doctor in the Navy, I had a fellow physician, obstetrician, who refused on the grounds of conscience to do abortions while he was in the Navy. But when he got out, he went into private practice in the local city and became the biggest abortionist around. Why? Because he was making a lot of money from it. So leave no doubt about it. That is often what drives this. But as far as people dying, women dying, or women being sick from self-induced abortions or from untrained people, in my 36 years of practice, I've never seen that happen.
Congressman, a very important debate. Thank you very much for taking the time to share it with us.
Thank you so much, Greg. Appreciate you having me.
As always, sir. Republican Louisiana Congressman John Fleming represents his state's 4th Congressional District, as you just heard, a longtime practicing physician. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.